Aren't you glad that God gifts certain people to sing and we get to hear the beauty of that? But really, the big beauty is not just the voice that Beatrice sings with, but the messages she's singing about. Like, I hope you felt that today. I hope you felt that just well up in your soul. It's good, isn't it? It's good. All right, let me dismiss the teachers, their assistants, and the preschool up through, Tom, what does your class go to? Fourth. Okay, so preschool through third? Preschool through fourth. Go ahead and head down for your classes, if you would. Would you do this? Turn to somebody sitting next to you and say, Happy Easter. When you say that, what does that well up inside you? Does it, we've been in this series over the last few weeks called 3 days. But there's a word that I can identify each of those days. And I'm going to say those three words right now. And when I say them, when I say each word, I just want you to let it sink into you. Okay? And let that word kind of land in your heart, and in your mind, and in your soul, and see how it feels, okay? Because it's 3 days, and a few weeks ago I said to you, if I said, hey, you have a 3-day weekend coming up, what would you do? Woohoo! Like, even when I said it that day, everybody just went, yes. And then if I ask you what are the 3 biggest days of your life, you may have to sit back and think through that. If I said, what's the 3 best days of your life? If I said, what's the 3 hardest days of your life? Like, you feel the swing of those emotions from, whew, that sounds great, to, man, that's big. Oh, that's hard. And yet we see in Christ that those 3 days were back to back to back. And they included the best and the worst, right? So let me just say the 3 words and let it sink in. You feel these words. The first of those 3 words is death. Wonder what you feel. This one, burial. Or maybe in our modern life we would say something like this, funeral. And then let me give you that third word, resurrection. Did you feel the heaviness of death, the struggle of it? Maybe the sadness of burial. And hopefully the lifting, the hope of resurrection. Let's pray, okay? Thank you for truth and the truth that you give us, Lord. Thank you for the emotions that you allow us to feel and move through. Help us not to push them away. Thank you for these 3 words and what they picture to us. The heaviness we feel, the sadness that we feel, the hope that we feel. And help us to know that's life, and that's not just this life that we're living in now, but it's connected to the forever life that you talk to us about. Thank you that even when we say death and feel the heaviness, when we add to it the death of Jesus Christ, it changes it. As B said earlier, help it to be fuller in our hearts. Help us to understand the eyes of our heart be open to see what we haven't seen before. And when we see it, help us to love it, to grab a hold of it, to see each part of it, its beauty, and to know in a new way how it touches me now, today, and in my tomorrows. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me back up a little bit before those 3 days, that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44 says this, "But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead," and is talking about Jesus, "as he came closer and saw the city ahead, he began to weep." You know, it's always something to look at Christ and say what makes him weep. He said, "I wish today that you, of all people, would understand the way to peace." But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. This is about to begin the week of Passion, or what we know as the Passion of the Christ. He's about to enter the city, and you know he entered to celebration. But isn't it something that he gives us this little snapshot before he enters? What was going on? What was in his heart? What was in his head? What was he thinking about? Man, it points towards a heaviness, doesn't it? Not a heaviness of his own sacrifice, but a heaviness that someone might miss God's message. That one of us might miss the meaning, the visits of God in our life. What pushes ahead several days, and in Luke 23 it follows that up, talking about now Christ has been tried and he's standing before Pilate, and it says this, "Then Pilate called together the leading priests and other religious leaders along with people, and he announced his verdict. 'You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him thoroughly on this point and in your presence and found him innocent.'" Boy, there's words, right? "Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty. So I will have him flogged. I'll have him beaten and then I'll release him." Then a mighty roar rose from the crowd, and with one voice they shouted, "Kill him and release Barabbas to us." You see, days before, Jesus had seen this. He'd looked at this city and this people and he knew God was right in front of them and they couldn't see it. And he wept. He wept because of their blindness. He wept because of the pain he knew they were going to go through. This, in this moment of prophecy, pushed ahead decades to when Jerusalem would be surrounded. The city would be destroyed and not one stone of the temple would be left on another. They couldn't see it. So they just shouted, "Kill him and release Barabbas to us." Barabbas was in prison for taking part in an insurrection in Jerusalem against the government and for murder. Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." For the third time he demanded, "Why? What crime has he committed? I found no reason to sentence him to death. So I'll have him flogged and then I'll release him." But the mob shouted louder and louder, demanding that Jesus be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate sentenced Jesus to die as they demanded. And the first of those 3 days moved forward. Because the people there that day believed that there was a paradigm in life, a paradigm in this world, and the paradigm went something like this. You would be born, you would have some celebrations, you would have some struggles, and then would come this thing called pain and eventually death. And they believed this. They believed this. They believe if we can just put this person, this Christ, to death, everything will be okay. That's a paradigm that's locked humanity for a long time. We're born, we live, and in life, there are celebrations. Those are good moments, aren't they? I think it was last Sunday, Ken and Kelly were going to a revealing party. Some of us older people, do we know what revealing parties are? Right? We know now. Kel, boy or girl? Okay. Whew. Did you guys hear that? Kelly's going to be a grandmother to a grandson. It's okay. Celebrations are good. Yeah, that's good. Life that has celebrations and struggles. I woke up and, like many of us do in our modern time, grabbed my phone, hit the news feed, and saw what happened in Sri Lanka. Did you read about it? 8 different bombs. 3 to 4 of them in different churches this morning. Struggles. Horror. But the reason I love 3 days is because that paradigm changed. Jesus had given hints of it earlier, before this, before his death, burial, and resurrection. He'd given hints. I love this one. It's found in Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to read a handful of verses from that passage. As Jesus was saying this, the leader of the synagogue came and knelt before him and said this, "My daughter has just died," he said, "but you can bring her back to life again if you come and lay your hand on her." How did this guy know this? How did he know? I mean, resurrection after crucifixion hadn't happened, but we're about to get a glimpse into it. Let me ask you a question. Do you think this dad loved his daughter when he came to Jesus? Yeah. Do you think they had ever had celebrations before that day? Doesn't tell us exactly here how old the child was, but you know, let's just assume a certain age. Do you think that dad was happy the day his daughter was born? How many dads here with daughters? Good day, right? A good day. Ooh. Other celebrations. How about the first time she took a step? I always think this is like someone just won an Olympic gold medal. Woohoo! My child walked. Birthday parties, first day of school. It's a Jewish leader, so we can figure there was a bat mitzvah. Not bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah for a girl becoming a woman. Verse 19 says, "So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. When Jesus arrived at the official's house, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. 'Get out,' he told them. 'The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep.'" What? crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in, took the girl by hand, and she stood up. This was a glimpse. This was a glimpse. This was just a glimpse of what was coming. Just a glimpse. Just a dad and his daughter. A struggle and a celebration. John chapter 11, just a couple chapters later, tells another story that gives us a bigger glimpse of it. Again, I'm just going to read selected verses so we don't read the whole story. John 11, verse 5, it says this: Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. If you know the story, it's this family. Next little phrase says this: Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." Do you remember the story? Are you familiar with it? Jesus wasn't there. He was farther away. And so Martha sent word, Mary sent word, "Lazarus is sick, please come." Do you remember the disciples urged Jesus, "Let's go. Let's go right now." And he says, "No, we'll wait." By the time he gets there, Lazarus has already died. But even in that is this idea, Martha saying to Jesus, I know you're special. I know there's something different. Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. Next little phrase there in verse 32, the sister Mary comes. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." Let me ask you this question. Do you think these sisters loved their brother? Whew. Most Bible scholars speculate that Lazarus was the youngest. And maybe there was even a gap between Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. So he was their younger brother, a brother that had been taken care of. How many of you are the youngest in your siblings? So could I tell you this? You had a mom and a dad and then several other moms and dads, right? I think that's what Lazarus must have felt like. Do you think they ever had celebrations before this day together as a family? Yeah. I love this chapter, boy. John 11, verses 23 through 27. Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Sometime in the future, we know that, Jesus. Like, we believe that. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die." "Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I've always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Gets pushed a little broader a few verses later, John 11, 39. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus said to them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days." Do you remember the conversation? He just, "Do you believe it?" "Yes, I do." Do you understand the struggle that's going on? Like something's shifting. Something's changing here. "Yes, I believe in you, Lord. I believe in that resurrection someday. I'm not talking about someday. I'm talking about today. Do you believe that I could resurrect your brother today?" "Yes, I do, because I know you're the one that God sent into the world." "Well, then roll the stone away." "Wait a second now. He's been dead for 4 days." "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone away. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me." And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Let me push a little bit farther. verse 45. Many of the people who were there with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. This next phrase is stunning. But some went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Like many believed, like they saw this. Then the leading priests and Pharisees called the high council together. What are we going to do? They asked each other. This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. And here was their great fear. Then the Roman army will come and destroy both our temple and our nation. Caiaphas, who was the high priest at the time, said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't realize that it's better for you that one man should die for the people than for the whole nation to be destroyed." Palm Sunday was a celebration. Good Friday was a struggle. But now this thing that we call Easter, this Resurrection Sunday, was coming and it would change everything. Matthew chapter 28 is one of the descriptions of resurrection. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead and that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee. And they will see me there." Because this old paradigm, this belief that we were stuck in, that there was only one way, that we were going to have birth and then we were going to live life that included celebrations and struggles, that came to this conclusion, this end of death, now was going to shift. We saw a glimpse in the father and the daughter. We saw a glimpse in this family, these three siblings. But now we were going to see it clearly. There would be a new paradigm. There would be birth and then there would be life. And in that life would be celebrations and struggles. And then there would be death. But along with death would be resurrection. So we, along with Christians all over our planet, are meeting this morning talking about resurrection. And what that means. What that does in our life. So I want to end this morning by just asking that question. What would resurrection do? Here's my first answer. What would resurrection do? It would shake up life and it would shake up death. I just read these words from Matthew 28, but let me just read a snapshot of them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. And then just a few verses later, verses 7 and 8, he says these. This is what the angel says. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here." The question is, what would resurrection do? It would shake up life and death. At the very beginning, I said those three words, death and burial and resurrection. And I know when I let them fall in my heart and I feel what I feel with them, there's a difference in what I feel in death and what I feel when I say resurrection. And it's because I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but He isn't here. I love this next answer. What would resurrection do? Not only shake up life and death, but it would change fear forever. Surprising in that Matthew 28 resurrection passage, how many times the word fear or afraid occurs. Let me just highlight them. Verse 4, the guards shook with fear when they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. Verse 5, then the angel spoke to the women, don't be afraid. Verse 8, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened. Verse 10, then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. How are you doing on this, Christians, this don't be afraid thing? Have you mastered it? Like, I have to race back to this. That the angel said, don't be afraid. Because the natural thing is to be afraid. That Jesus said, don't be afraid. Because He knew I was afraid. I am afraid. The resurrection would shake up life and death. It would change fear forever. I love this. What would resurrection do? It would change worship. Worship is this, an expression of reverence, an adoration of God. That's what it is. Did you feel it a little bit earlier? And a lot of times we as Christians narrow worship down to singing, which it's not just that. That's a part of it, but it's a big part of it, right? It would change worship. Again, that same passage, Matthew 28. Here's just a couple snapshots. Verse 9. And as they went, Jesus met with them and greeted them, and they ran to Him, grasped His feet, and worshipped Him. Verse 16 and 17. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him. This is what resurrection would do. It would change worship for us too. You may want to just mark it down and read it later on, but I love Revelation chapter 4 and 5 because there is this growing, there's this progression of worship. There's this progression of understanding who God is. And I love that progression. So let me give it to you, okay? It starts off saying, the one who was and is to come. Talking about an eternal God. It continues by saying this, you created all things, not just an eternal God, but the creator of everything that we know. You were slaughtered and your blood has ransomed people. Eternal God, creator, and now savior. But I love that it goes a step further. Blessings belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Not just eternal God, not just Creator, not just Savior, but resurrected Lord. The resurrection shook up life and death and changed fear forever. It changes worship for you and me. But now we're really getting down to it. What would resurrection do? It's this. Resurrection would change me. Maybe I would even say it like this. Resurrection gives me the opportunity, the hope, the door to walk through that change can happen in my life. Romans chapter 11, chapter 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Are you getting this? If you and I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that resurrection touches this mortal body. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Boy, how many of us as Christians, we race to that promise? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. What would resurrection do? It could change me. It could bring me into a relationship with God that touches even this body that I live in, changes this. Resurrection would give me the opportunity not only to be in a relationship with Him, but to experience the power of that resurrection in my life. But I want to push it one step further. What would resurrection do? Shake up life and death. Change fear, change the worship, change me, change others. That Matthew 28 resurrection passage that we read continues to the end of the chapter. And this is how Jesus ends it. Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Man, you walk into a church anywhere on this planet on Easter Sunday and there are Christians that are celebrating resurrection. Hope, life. And that's the way it should be. But it shouldn't stop there. When we walk out these doors this morning and we say, what does resurrection do? What would resurrection do? It's what can change the world. Starting next week as a church, we'll be moving into a missions month. And we'll be highlighting some of the national pastors that our church supports. And I think of them this morning. I think Pastor Paul's ministries in Africa, the Talls down in Brazil, the Manellis in Albania. I think they're brothers and sisters in Christ who are celebrating Christ's resurrection. But they're going further than that. They're taking this good news, this paradigm change, they're taking it to their people, the people they live by, the nation that they live, that they're from. They're taking this gospel message and saying, He's alive. Whatever celebration you're in the middle of, just know He's alive. Whatever struggle you're going through, He's alive. Let's bow for prayer. Death feels heavy, Lord. Burial feels sad. Resurrection, man, that feels hopeful. That feels explosive. That changes everything for us. Help us today, Lord, to let it change us. To deepen our worship. To lessen our fear. To give fullness to living. To give hope for future. And to move us to tell every person that we know He's alive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.